It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody needs information on the Packers every day of the year. You go to Jason Wilde and you go to Wisconsin app, ESPN Wisconsin app, and you can listen to everything he says every day. It's going to take some time. Good afternoon, Jason.
Well, good afternoon, Stephen. I thought I was going to be talking to Strofe today. I'm so thrilled that you came into work.
Yeah, we had furnace issues, and my furnace guy and I took care of it at noon instead of 5 o'clock, so all is good.
Awesome. I could not be more thrilled. No offense to Strofe.
I'm sure that helps. And the Tush Push is back, I guess. I thought they finished just a couple of votes short. Are you surprised they didn't get it done? Because usually the commissioner gets what he wants.
Right, and there's no denying that the commissioner wanted this. I talked to multiple people in the league about this because I have believed from the very beginning that the Packers did this at Roger Goodell's behest, and that is exactly the case. And so, you know, I understand the reasoning, right? They don't have a specific one-person billionaire owner who then has to sit through the meeting and have Jeffrey Lurie talking smack to him and creating drama between billionaires. I get that part of it. But I just don't understand, why not have like a team in the AFC that doesn't play the Eagles submit it then instead? And here's the fascinating thing. I found this while I was researching it, and then I noticed that Mike Florio pointed this out too. So this other proposal that they withdrew from the Lions about reseeding the playoffs, and instead of it being the four division winners getting the four top seeds, that if a wild card team has a better record than one of the division winners, that the wild card team with that better record would get the better seeding spot. They withdrew that because they didn't have the votes. And Rod Wood, who is the president of the Lions, who had proposed, the team that had proposed that, admitted on the record at the NFL meetings in March that Troy Vincent from the league had called him and asked the Lions to partner with the league on proposing changing the seating. So, like, what is that? Like, first of all, I'm not sure Rod Wood was supposed to say that publicly, because Murphy clearly issued a non-denial denial when he was asked at the NFL meetings if they had brought the proposal.
Well,
at the league's
didn't he
behalf.
Say that because he doesn't want to look like an idiot?
Correct. He said, well, we talk to the league all the time. So he didn't lie. He didn't answer the question, but he didn't lie. So my point is that, you know, this is stupid. Like, it puts the Packers, you saw how the Eagles responded, right? Like, they immediately posted the photo on social media. There was a reason why they chose a photo with the Packers playing defense. I saw it was pointed out that the Packers actually stopped that play, which I find funny. But the bottom line is that this, you know, it looked bad for the Packers. It looked like sour grapes, right? Because they lost to the Eagles twice. And I just don't understand the league. Why don't just do it yourself? Like, why attach the Packers to it? I don't think it did the Packers any favors. You know, I am not, I think, as you know, a staunch defender of the Packers by any stretch. But in this instance, I just think the league put them in a bad spot, and I think it's stupid. And I think this was basically a one-year reprieve. I mean, the Eagles doing their victory lap, let's not forget that 22 of the 32 teams voted to abolish the play. They were within two votes of the 75%. They needed 24. They got 22. Otherwise, the play would be dead. I would not be surprised if next year it died.
Well, and Jason, I know that you will eventually find out who turned on them, because I think they thought they had 24. But
yeah, here's an interesting fact.
By the way, I will read this because Seth Wickersham, he's the one who has the book about the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, debate over the tush push led to a heated exchange between NFL owners and league executives Wednesday morning during the league meeting in Eagan, Minnesota. Multiple sources with firsthand knowledge told ESPN. I don't know that Seth lives by my theory, and that is whenever you have one source, you say multiple sources. And whenever you have multiple sources, you say one, just to make it more difficult for people to follow you if they want to.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't do that?
I don't do that, and I can tell you that I talked to multiple people in the league or texted with multiple people in the league. Hey, look, the other part of that, I saw, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, his choice of words was not great in a couple of instances.
They throw the F-bomb in there?
I don't think so, but he used another term that I wouldn't have, if I was him, I wouldn't have used.
Okay.
But, you know, to me, what was really interesting, too, like, I'll say this. I think Adam Schefter pointed this out. One of the teams that voted to keep the tush push were the Saints. The Saints head coach is Kellen Moore, who was the Eagles offensive coordinator, right? So that maybe is one of the two teams that they were expecting to vote to ban it, and then Kellen Moore voted to keep it, right? That's one. But I thought it was interesting, and Adam pointed this out, the two of the teams that voted to ban it were the Indianapolis Colts and the Arizona Cardinals, both of whom their head coaches are former Eagles assistants. So it's not like they had some sort of loyalty to the play or to their former employer on this issue. So again, I think this is a 1 year stay of execution, but nevertheless, like the way the Eagles were taking that victory lap, I thought was pretty obnoxious, frankly.
I expect the Packers to do well with it because I think they're going to have their tight end push, right? I mean, that I would assume we'll see even more of that, correct or not?
I mean, we'll see the part of the play where the offensive linemen go very low, and whoever is lined up behind center obviously burrows their way in for the first down. Like, the way the Packers do it, they motion Tucker Kraft into the quarterback position, but Love steers clear of the play entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not that back there pushing on Tucker Kraft's butt to help give him some extra oomph. The Eagles play has the submarining offensive lineman going low on the defensive lineman, but it also has Saquon Barkley and someone else that they motion into the backfield pushing on Jalen Hurts to increase his effectiveness. And the Packers do not, in fairness to them, I think Tucker Kraft was 6 for 6 on the year, and that was without anybody pushing him from behind.
Do you agree with my premise that they will use it even more this year?
Well, I think the Packers will use it more, but I also think the Eagles will be coming in on November 10th. They may run it on 1st and 10 just to stick it to the Packers. I don't know how effective it'll be, but I think they will come in with a desire to shove it up the Packers' tush, if you will.
No, I would anticipate them when they have in 4-down territory doing it 4 times in a row. That's what I would do if I was them.
You've heard me criticize Mark Murphy plenty for ticket prices, and then there was the story about the guy with his two sick parents who had been selling his tickets for the last several years who got him revoked, and then he appealed, and they still revoked his tickets, and maybe there's more to that story. But I don't generally side with the team. And when it's player versus team, I usually side with the player, as people know. But in this instance, I'm on Team Packers on this. Like, I just think they were put in an unenviable position. And now the Eagles, clearly, I'm not saying that the Packers are going to lose to the Eagles on Monday Night Football in November because the Eagles are pissed about their tush-push proposal. I don't see why the Packers had to be the ones that were the sacrificial lambs. I don't think that was right.
My answer is because of the draft.
I mean, I understand that that could have very well been a quid pro quo, right? Hey, Mark, you know, I did give you, I'm talking as Roger Goodell now.
Yeah.
Mark, I did make sure you had the draft, so now it's tit for tat. I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Well, and I think Murphy would agree to do whatever. If I was Murphy, I'd agree to do whatever the commissioner asked, given that we got the draft.
Yeah, and I would push back on the commissioner and say the draft was a success not because of these thousands upon thousands of people descending on our small town here, but because Wisconsinites love to drink outside and walk around, and Wisconsinites showed up in a huge way to make the draft a success. That was not, from my anecdotal evidence, all these people came from miles around to come to Lambeau Field like some sort of pilgrimage. It was local Milwaukee, Madison, Eau Claire, La Crosse, like it was Wisconsinites that made that a success. It was not the NFL.
Let's get to the Detroit thing because, on principle, I like the idea that the seeding is based more on overall records, but I haven't studied it well. But what are you playing in this division and that division? I like that in principle, and I assume it's going to happen, but maybe I'm missing a part of that that prevents it from ever occurring.
So here's the problem I have with it, and the Packers and Lions and Vikings, oh my, are the perfect test case for it. So the NFC North, the division winner were the Lions at 15-2. The Vikings finished 14-3. Now, Pebble can look up what those teams' losses were, but this all started with Amon-Ra St. Brown publicly saying the week of that Lions-Vikings game in Week 18 that he didn't think it was fair that the loser of that game was going to be stuck as a 5 seed going on the road playing against a division winner that was not going to have as good of a record. Which, again, Troy Vincent then called Roy Wood and said, hey, would you guys like to partner on a argument for this or a proposal, which I get all that. I don't think that logic by you or by Amon-Ra St. Brown is flawed. Here's the problem I have. The Packers went 11-6, but they went 1-5 in their division. And if you include their playoff loss to the Eagles, they were 0-6 against the teams that finished with a better record in their conference than them, right? So do we know for a fact that they are, for example, if their record is better than a team that finishes, say, 10-7 and wins their division? No, because here's the problem with that. The way the league works its scheduling formula, it's not all, you know, there are two games that are decided by, okay, you finish second in your division, you face this second place team from this division and this second place team from that division. It is not you finish second in your division and you play all the other second place teams in the divisions across the league. The Packers got to play the AFC South, which I understand that the Texans won the division ultimately and the Packers did beat them, but they went undefeated against the NFC South. The NFC South was a crappy division this year. And all three of the NFC North teams, I would argue, got fat in part on their schedule by playing them. The Packers also had the good fortune, and now this is timing, and this is why they say when the schedule comes out, it's not always who you play, it's when you play them. But, like, they played the Rams without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Like, right. If you're going to tell me that that didn't help their cause, so what I'm saying is that pure record, number of wins, given those other pieces of information, don't necessarily prove that a team with an 11-6 record that finishes as a wild card going to play a team with a lesser record is getting hosed by the system. So they would, if they wanted to institute this, I would argue you then have to change your scheduling formula to make it even more difficult for teams that are first or second place finishers in your division to play more good teams. And then if they still have a better record than a division winner in another division, then I'm open to the idea of making that change.
And you know they're not going to do that. They like the way it's set up, how you vary. And I guess I would say, as a fan,
right.
I like
it too.
I don't know if you
can do
common opponents as the record that you use to determine seeding, and there has to be a certain number of common opponents. But yes, I mean, just in listening to you, you've made it clear that it's just more complicated than that, and so you can't just use overall record.
Right, and I'm against it. I don't think they should change it. It doesn't happen very often. It did happen in 2010 where the Saints had to go on the road to play at a 7-9 Seahawks team, and the Seahawks beat them. And the Saints were the defending Super Bowl champs. You know, that sucks. But, you know, again, if you're as good as you think you are in terms of a Super Bowl team, it's still a disadvantage, no doubt about it. But if you're the better team, you should be able to win on the road. There are plenty of teams that win on the road in the playoffs. To me, the issue is this is not a big enough problem that it needs to be upsetting the entire apple cart.
And I liked it when you had two teams with a bye, when you had the top two were out.
I agree.
But they can't do that anymore because you now have seven teams in.
And to your other point, like, I do think it's important to do the rotating divisions because that means every 4 years you play every team in the league. And then another 4 years go by and then you are guaranteed of playing that team again at the other place's location. Like the Packers, they play the Jaguars every 4 years in Green Bay or Jacksonville, and then four years later they play in the opposite place. And you would never see those teams if you didn't do it that way.
Yeah, you can't change that. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Willey, all Packers all the time. You go to ESPN Wisconsin app and just listen to everything he says. You'll be smarter. From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy Celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener on June 27th at the Garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. And as I alluded to it, your state, your teams, your ESPN, the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app, a customizable homepage, easier and quicker live listening, your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app is available in Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today. Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports. Not next, but soon.